Okay, today is part 4 of Birchas Hamazon. Part 4. Hazoyin b'dima b'rima yitzaru. Shem Alis, on Shabbos, we say those who planned b'dima with tears, b'rima yitzaru. I came across a fascinating story from Rav Pinchas, Shimshon Pinchas, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. He claims it's a true story. It was once parents of him, of a young man who, the young man decided to marry a non-Jew. A non-Jewish girl. They were very upset. A shiksa, so they were very upset. They came to a certain Rav. The Rav basically said, what could I do? And then he commented to someone, he told him the following story. Once upon a time in a town in Europe, wherever this town was, in Russia, Poland, I don't know, wherever it was, there was they rezoned the borders of the country. The country decided we're going to move the border from here to here, and the border happened to pass right in front of the cemetery, the Jewish cemetery. So the people in the community, when they went to bury the dead, when there was a levaya in their community, they wanted to bury someone, they needed to get a visa to leave the country just to go into the cemetery. Because the cemetery was on the boundary of the border of this particular little country, whatever it was.
That today, the United States in Canada, the library, the border, you go in and you go out, you could be in two different countries.
Really?
Yeah.
And they check you, or your passport,
you
and so on and so
forth? They relax, basically, of course, it's the United States and Canada, but it's over New Hampshire. Well, one of those states over there, by the borders, Canada, you walk into the library on one side, because it's like Moodlot, it's a piece, because the borders weren't built properly. The old surveyors were off by a lot
drunk.
Of land, and they missed by a lot. So on one entrance to the library, you walk in and you come out the other side, you're in Canada.
That was exactly the situation with by a cemetery. So what happened? So they had to go every time there was a Jewish funeral. It was a serious business. You had to go get it for the people, the Chevra Kadisha, and the family had to go down to the post office and apply for a visa to go over the border just to go and bury the dead. Serious business. So this went on all the time until finally they made some good politicians in those days, and they made arrangements with the neighboring country that for funerals we'll look the other way, we'll relax the restrictions, and you can go into the cemetery without getting a visa, without going through all the formalities. Okay, so then it came along a real chacham. Okay, just can imagine how it all starts. What a great idea! We can cross the border if we go for a funeral. If you have goods and you want to normally, you want to you smuggle them out of the country, you have to pay taxes and you have to go through all this paperwork. So you know what we'll do? We'll make a coffin, and we'll fill up the coffin with goods, with merchandise, and we'll pretend that we are going to a funeral, and we'll carry the mace, and really we're carrying all of the merchandise, and we get to the other side, we'll open up the coffin, we'll take out the merchandise, and we'll smuggle it to the country, and we'll avoid paying the taxes and doing all the paperwork. So they did this, went on and on and on, and they were able to circumvent the law. Obviously, they're not very Erlich people here. What happened? It got so out of hand that as they were taking the coffin out of the country, they were joking around. And they were laughing and giggling. And normally at a funeral, you're not supposed to be giggling and laughing and joking around. So the custom guard saw, why are they laughing and smirking with each other as they carry the coffin? Something doesn't make sense. So right away, figured out what was going on. They opened up the coffin, and they found in the coffin there was no dead body. There was merchandise that was smuggled out of the country. And these people were in a lot of trouble. So the guard said to them, and they were put in jail. And it got worse and worse and worse. And they came to the point where they were mamish, almost crying. So the guard said to them, if you were crying when you were carrying the coffin, then you would not be crying now. It's because you were laughing when you were carrying the coffin, that's why you're crying now. So that's the Musar Haskel he said about this person, that on Rachman Slan, he went off the derech. It's because when the parents raised the child, they were warned, they were told, this is not the derech, how you should raise your children. Don't send them to these type of schools. Don't have them associate with these type of friends. If the parents would have been crying when the child was born, that the child should be raised in the proper way, then the parents would not be crying now when the child decided to marry a non-Jew. Okay, the nimshal is not as good, but the mashal is a great mashal. If you were crying when you were carrying the coffin, as you should have been crying, you would not be crying now. Hazarim bedima barina yiktsa. Now, the reason why I'm saying over the story is because it reminded me of a word that I saw a few weeks ago, and applies to the theme of Birchas HaMazon and to eating bread. 2 weeks ago in the parasha, which parasha was it? Rabbi Mayevsky will tell me. So what is that? That's a parasha Tzav, maybe? Tzav? Okay, whatever it is. Chazal make a drash of v'iskadishim elu mayim rishonim. V'yisem kedoshim elu mayim acharonim. Simply means that when you eat bread, before you eat bread, what do? You wash for the bread. Mayim rishonim. Be holy. Washing for bread is a degree of holiness. When you finish eating bread, when you're ready to bench, what do? We wash. Mayim acharonim. Right? So it's also a degree of holiness. Mayim rishonim, mayim acharonim. This tradition, the Eastern tradition, ilu mayim rishonim, mayim acharonim. So I just want to say, it's a beautiful drush, and it fits very well into this idea of hazam b'dim b'dim. There's a person. Come here. So I saw the following drush, that when a person, this mayim kum called mayim rishonim, mayim achronim. Besides the similar interpretation of mayim rishonim, when you tilas yadayim before you eat, and mayim achronim before you bench, before a person is born, the wife, the mother, what does she do? She goes to mikvah. Taharas HaMishpacha. The mikvah is the mayim rishonim of conception. Before a mother conceives a child, she purifies herself with mayim rishonim. That leads to conception. That leads to the birth of a child. A person lives 120 years, and then a person leaves this world. And what happens when the person leaves this world? What does the Chevra Kadisha do to the person's body? They put it in the mikvah. They either taskavim, mayim, or they put it in the mikvah, whatever the Chevra Kadisha does, whatever the custom is. That's what's called the mayim acharonim. So the pasuk is telling us here, this is a drush, the skadish and the yisem kedoshim, a person should be surrounded in with mayim kedoshim from the beginning of his existence to the end of the existence. Ad ve'ad bechlal, from the beginning, meaning the mother is. Goes the mayim rishonim his kadishtem nikva shmini.
Just read it.
Okay. The kadishtem is mayim rishonim. The yisem kedoshim mayim rishonim is the nikva. The mother goes to nikva. The kadishtem the yisem kedoshim mayim acharonim the nikva. The chevra kadisha pours in the person's body when he dies. This person is surrounded with mayim. Same idea. Hazarim bedima beruni. So what? Hazarim bedima berina yitzar. A person will be, if the beginning starts out well, if the haschalah starts out with kedusha, then we can be certain our faith at the end will also end with kedusha. Kedusha from beginning all the way to the very end. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have in the benching, I want to talk about some girsos, a few interesting girsos. In the middle of the benching, not in the middle, we have the expression. Kim liyadcha, this is in the brach of Rachim. Rachim lo Hashem lo kinali shalomecha v'chulu v'chulu Elokeinu avinu re'inu zudeinu parneseinu v'chalkaleinu v'harvichinu v'harvich lo Hashem lo kinali kol tzerseinu v'kol no'al tashrochinu lo lidei madnas basar v'dam v'lo lidei halva asam. But kim liyadcha hameleya hapesucha, Hashem your hand that's meleya, that's full, hapesucha that's open, hakidoisha that is holy, to haravacha that is wide. Shalai nevosh, v'lodi kolem li'olam v'ed. Now, what in the world does it mean, hakidosha?
Oh,
so the Rav Chaim Kinievsky says that his father, it's not only his father, many people say that really it's a mistake. If you search in the old Sidurim, the oldest version of the benching, it's not HaKedosha. It doesn't make sense. Hashem's name is Kedosha. It means HaGidusha. Gidusha means heaping. Godosh. Mole v'godosh. Godosh. Heaping. The correct gear is Akim Liyadcha, your hand Hamaleya, that is full. HaPsucha, that is open. HaGidusha. Gidusha, instead of a cough, it's a gimel. Hagidosha or Gidusha, not sure, Gidosha or Gidusha, that is heaping with bracha. Okay, that is what he said, that his father, the stipler, said that's really what appears to be correct. However, it's interesting, the stipler, so this is something that's fascinating, he still said Kidosha because it's hard to change what the Minhag Klal Yisrael does. The Minhag Yisrael is to say Kedosha. It doesn't make any sense. Stipler. It's unbelievable. It's a hard stipler. You study the stipler. Stipler is mamash a malach elokim. It's hard. It's wrong. But if this is what Klal Yisrael does, so we'll continue doing what they do. Okay, why am I telling this to you? Because I saw by David Cohen, he says something very interesting. He says, there's a mitzvah to be miyash if the girsa. It should be Gedosha, heaping. Klal Yisrael says Kedosha, it's just a mistaken print. Maybe not. But what could the possible interpretation be? So he says this is a Gemara. The Gemara says, Mone shel Kodesh kofel hayah. Many times the Gemara tells us that the coins of the Beis HaMikdash is double in value, the value of coins of Cholin. And therefore, what we're really alluding to here, according to the gifts that we have, that we're saying, Hashem, we only want Liotcha Hamaleya, that's full, Hapsucha, HaKedosha, it's a borrowed term, doubled. Hashem, when you give, you don't just give single portions, you give double portions. Your hand is Kedosha, we mean Mone Shel Kodesh, the Mone, the hundred of Kodesh, Kofel Haya. It's double the value of an ordinary monesh shel chulin. So Rav David Cohen says, Rav David Cohen here from Goliavis, from Coney Island, says, that's possibly what it means there. Yotcha hamalaya hapsucha hakedosha. It's heaping. It's taka heaping. How is it heaping? Double. It's double because it's kodesh. The harichava shlanevo shlanikolem liyar lomboed.
A good save.
A good save?
Yeah.
You like it? Interesting.
It's
an interesting idea. Okay, I like there are a lot of things here. This is what it appears to be the correct Gedosha. If you have come and stipler, I believe it's a mistake. It's a mistake. His son said, his father told him, it's a mistake. It should be Gedusha, but it's hard to go against the Minhag Yisrael. So I'm still going to say Gedosha. And Rav David Cohen is a very interesting idea that Mona Shel Kodesh Kofel, we're asking Hashem to give us a double bracha, a double dosage of bracha. Okay, now the next word is Shelo Nevosh, Veloni Kolem Li Olam Voed. Now, there's another Girsa, there's a famous story, I'll tell you the story. There's another Girsa, Shelo Nevosh, Veloni Kolem, Veloni Koshel. Do you ever see this? I saw this in some of the, in fact, my Haggadah has, what? Yeah? In benching?
No, but...
In the benching.
There's a popular song using those.
Yeah.
Loni Koshel.
Loni Koshel, Olam Voed.
So
this is
that
Nigin
that sings it.
Yeah. Loni Koshel. Okay, so what do you mean?
I mean, in Nusuch, when they say it,
benching?
It comes out, if you listen to the record.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on the record, it's there.
Loni Koshel. Interesting. The vast majority of benchers do not have the word Nikoshel. Probably 95%, at least 95%. Shlone Vosh, Veloni Kolein, Li'olam Voed, Veloni Koshel does not appear. There's an interesting story to this Veloni Koshel. It's a famous story. It's in Betuv Chayabi by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein, he wrote probably by now 100 Sfarim. He's a genius. In Eretz Yisrael, he has so many different. Here, Alein L'Shabeach, Tuvcha Yabiu, Laharevda, and he has Chashuk Chemed on Shas. a genius, genius of geniuses. So here's following the story. There was a Haredi, there was a black hatter. He went to do research in a certain library in Eretz Yisrael, a modern Orthodox library. It could be, wasn't even a religious library. He needed to do some research for some type of thing, and he brought with him his lunch. And he sat there the whole day in the library. He did what he needed to do. When it came time to eat, he took out his lunch and he ate his lunch and he benched. And he was very meticulous in how he benched. He took out the bencher. He read every single very carefully. And he came to the benching and he said, "Shlo nevosh, v'lo nikoleim, v'lo nikoshel le'olam v'ed." And sitting not far from him was the librarian. She was a young girl, and she was not religious, but she grew up in a religious home. And when she was a child, she was taught the benching. Probably went to Beis Yaakov, and they would sing the benching. And she observed this Haredi recite the benching. Mila b'mila reminded her of her youth, from when she was still religious, before she went off the derech. And she observed how this young man said so carefully, "Shlo nevosh, v'lo nikolim, v'lo nikoshel, lo'olam v'ed." And she, for whatever reason, she went over to him, and she said, "I listened to you bench, and I noticed you said the word v'lo nikoshel. You know, I remember as a child we used to sing the benching in school. Never heard this v'lo nikoshel. Show me where it says this." So they have it's a library, right? It's a library. They have a lot of books. They have a lot of sidurim, especially in Israel. And he went over to the book and he said, he must have benched Baal Peh. I don't know, maybe he had a bencher, but he said, but in his bencher, it did not say v'lo nikoshel. And they went to the stack of books, sidurim, whatever they had there, and he looked and looked and looked. He could not find anywhere in the library a bencher that had the nusach v'lo nikoshel le'olam v'ed. So he said, "Listen." He said to this girl, "Listen, I know what I'm saying is true. There is such a girsa. Let me take your address. I'll mail you a photocopy of a real, authentic siddur that has sources that there is such a girsa v'lo nikoshel le'olam v'ed." Okay, this girl at this point in time was dating a non-Jew, and she was considering marrying him, and she, I think she even, the story goes that she even agreed, she was engaged to a non-Jew. But it bothered her very much that she went so far, besides the fact that she left her family tradition, that she was at Kdekach willing to marry a non-Jew. It bothered her. And it was on her mind all the time, am I doing the right thing, am I not doing the right thing? Okay, fine, this young man, he went home. It took him some time, he forgot about it, eventually came across the siddur, he found it, he made a photocopy of the bencher that said in it, "V'lo nevosh, v'lo nikoshel, v'lo nikoshel, le'olam v'ed." He took out a red pen, and he wrote two large red arrows, "By v'lo nikoshel, v'lo nikoshel." And he sent it to the library, to her attention. That day was the day that she was getting married. And it was eating her up. Should I get married? Maybe I should cancel because he's not Jewish. On that day it arrived, the photocopy of the bencher. She opens it up. Two big red arrows pointing. V'lo nikoshel. Don't stumble. And she took it as a sign in Hashanayim that Hashem was speaking to her, don't go this far. Don't marry that person. V'lo nikoshel. That's the story. I found it very interesting. A little story relating to this girsa. V'lo nevosh, v'lo nikolim, v'lo nikoshel, yolam v'et. Okay, let me give you another girsa. Another interesting girsa. We have in the Rachmas. Rachmas Yishvol, Uleinu me'al tzavareinu. When the world was down, may Hashem break the yoke from our necks. So it's also a girsa. Many say that it's not the correct girsa. The correct girsa, Yishvar oil the yoke Golios. The yoke of Golos me'al tzavarein. It's not Ulenu. The censors have corrupted the word oil Golios to Ulenu. So in many some of the more accurate benchers, they've restored this, the Harachman, from Yishpor Uleinu to Oil Golios Me'al Tzavareinu. Now, another very famous, what?
That I liked.
You saw that? Yeah,
I
saw that?
But these censors are so common.
Right, right. Okay, now let's go to a very popular change of gear. So, Harachman, he is a Kelim Nimos HaMashiach, Ulechayel HaMabah. Do we say Magdil or do we say Migdol? Magdil or Migdol. So this is popular stuff. We know that on Shabbos we say Migdol, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, any day. So in the article sitter here it says yes, Chol HaMoed. Not so simple. Not so simple, but here it says Chol HaMoed, you say Migdol, and during the weekday we say Magdil. So what's the difference? What the two different yourselves come from? So we all know that we have what's called Shiras David. David HaMelech, in the end of Shmuel days, after all the events of his life, Besaf Yomav, he wrote, he composed a beautiful Shira. We just read the Shira on Shvi Shol Pesach. Shvi Shol Pesach is the Haftorah of Shmuel days, of what's called Shiras David. When else do we learn Shiras David? We learn Parashas Hazinu when Parashas Hazinu is not Shabbat Shuvah. Most of the time Parashas Hazinu is Shabbat Shuvah, so we learn Shuvah Yisrael from Yeshaya. But when Shabbat Hazinu is not Shabbat Shuvah, then we learn the Haftorah of Shiras David in Shmuel. In fact, there is no real Haftorah. When you come to the Haftorah in the back of the Tikkun for Shvi Shel Pesach, they don't even have it. They tell you, oh, we're not reprinting it again. It's too big. Go look at Parashas Hazinu, you'll find it there. Even the good Tikkunim don't want to repeat it. They tell you, go to Parashas Hazinu, that's not the Haftorah. We once discussed that there's a very big controversy concerning Shiras David in the way it's written in a Navi. Is it written like Shiras Yaz Yashir? Ariach Agav Levena Levena Agav Ariach was written two columns like Hazinu. Is it written like Hazinu? It's two columns straight down in the Keter Aram Tzeva. It's two columns. In the tradition in Medina we have among us, it's written like Shiras Devorah, and they have a very popular new Haftarah book. It's an orange color Haftarah book. All the shuls have it. Well, not many shuls have it. This Haftarah book, it's a very good Haftarah book. It's in the entire Tanakh, but the parts of Tanakh that are not read for the Haftarah, it's very small. And this Haftarah itself is very large, and it's very clear, and they have all of the Shvanah, it's beautifully done. And there they have it, Ariach Agave Levena. Like traditionally, not like the Keter Aram Tzeva. Okay, that's a separate discussion. But there's a pasuk there, the end of Magdil Yeshua Smalko and Migdol. In Sefer Shmuel, in Sefer Nevi'im, it's Migdol Yeshua Smalko. In Sefer Tehillim, there's a very big mystery. We have this Kimat Mila B'Mila. There are a few minor changes in Sefer Tehillim, where David HaMelech took what he wrote in Sefer Shmuel and he put it in Sefer Tehillim, or vice versa, whatever it is, in Ksuvim. The whole Shiras Devarah is repeated, and there it says Magdil and not Migdol. So what do we do? Is it, which pasuk are we quoting? Are we quoting the pasuk of Ksuvim Tehillim, or are we quoting the pasuk of Sefer Shmuel Nevi'im? And that will be Migdol. So the Peshara is, during the weekday we say Magdil from Tehillim, and on Shabbos we say Migdol. Now what's the difference? So the main, why do we select one over the other? So there are many answers. One answer is the word Migdol means it's complete. Migdol means a tower. Migdol is a tower. It's done. It's finished. It's a done deal. Magdil is a process. Magdil, it's growing. Magdil means it's developing, it's getting there, it's getting bigger. So during the weekday, we're not yet there. Weekday is called the time of avod, of work, of yigia, effort. So it's magdil. We are in the process of elevating, work in process to come to the salvation of Hashem. Magdil, Yeshua Smalko, to elevate, to work on magnifying the salvation of Malko, his king. But on Shabbos, And Yom Tov, that's a day of Menucha. That's a day where you're not working. You're not going forward. You're resting. Your work is done. We are complete. Then we say Migdol. Migdol means it's a tower. It's complete. It's a done deal. It's Sholem. Okay, that's the simple approach. There's another answer. The difference between the two. In Sefer, why did David HaMelech write the same thing twice with small minor changes? The answer is, the difference, the nuance of expression is, there's a difference between David as a Yochid and Tehillim as the Klal Yisrael. What he wrote in Sefer Tehillim was meant for the entire Klal Yisrael. Every single member of Klal Yisrael can relate to this and use these words for his personal troubles. What we have in Sefer Shmuel is David HaMelech's personal life. So, what's the difference? Who was David? David is a Melech. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos and Yom Tov are days of Malchus. On days of Malchus, we relate to the Shira as David HaMelech relates to it, the Geder Melech. During the weekday, we relate to Shiras David as an ordinary person, so we go to Tehillim. Tehillim was written for the average person. In Sefer Shmuel, David is writing it personally. David is writing personally Midin Melech. In Sefer Tehillim, he's writing it for the average person. The average person is Begeder, is an individual. An individual, fine, so during the weekday we relate to it with the word Magdil. Shabbos and Yom Tov, we relate to it together. David together Melech. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov are days of Malchus. Because that is two interpretations of why we have Magdil and Migdol. However, it's very well known that many suggest that it's a printing mistake. The truth is, it was only meant to be Migdol Yeshua's Malchus. How did it come about? We have Magdil because the printer, on the side of Migdol, he knew that a person may make a mistake, Migdol and Magdil, so he put on the side, Beis, Shin, Mem, Beis, with a strachel, which stands for Bish, Muel, Beis. Beis, Beh, Shin is Shemuel, Mem, Shin, Mem is Shemuel, Beis, Bishmuel Beis. So don't make a mistake and read it Magdil, as it appears in Tehillim. Make sure you pronounce the word correctly, Migdol, as it appears in Bishmuel Beis. What happened? Along came a later printer. He saw these letters, Beis, Shin, Mem, Beis, and he made a mistake. Bishabos, Oimrim. So what's the Beis? How do they make a mistake? Let's write it out. Bishmuel Beis. No, Bishmuel Aleph. I'm sorry, not Bishmuel Beis. Bishmuel Aleph. It appears Bishmuel Aleph or is it Bishmuel Beis? Bishabbos. I forgot the whole word. How could it be Bish? Beis, Shin, Mem.
It has to be Beis because there was.
It's a Shmuel Beis. Bishmuel Beis, long came the printer, and he says Bishab Bishbe.
There was no soft, but he just did the
Bishabos.
Beishin
Beis, Bishmuel Beis. Oh, Beishin
Beis. Beishin Beis. And he thought it was
Shabbos. I don't remember. There's a printing mistake. So I have to find the. I don't remember. I thought I recall from memory, but I made a mistake. It was a printer mistake, which really meant Bishmuel Beis, and somehow the printer thought it meant the Bishabbos Omrim. Somehow the letters got mixed up, and that's why, this is Shabbos, the May law during the weekday. Fine, that's a very powerful word. However, the reason I'm telling this to you is because that Rav Chaim Knievsky said it's not possible. Because, why is this impossible? Because the Avud Roham already says this difference. That on Shabbos you shall say Migdol, and the whole you shall say Magdil, and in the time of the Avud Roham, the Christians did not yet divide Shmuel into two books. So it's impossible to say. It's impossible to say. The Welt says, this is a very famous thing. It says the printing mistake. The Shmuel Beis somehow I forget the right letters. It's impossible because the difference of Shmuel Beis was done by the Christians, and we know exactly when they did it. And if you go and you study the Avudim, when he lived before the Christians took the Tanakh and broke into two parts. And he already says the difference between. So it can't be that it was a printed mistake. This is a serious difference of how to say.
You saw the Avudim?
No, I didn't see the Avudim. I guess the Avudim was invention. Avudim was invention on the Siddur, that big massive chunk, those two volumes, the massive. So I'm sure it's here in the benching. Okay, so that is a very interesting idea. Okay, now let me just tell you another idea. It's a chakira, interesting chakira. The Gemara says, would we bench? What do we bench? Are we benching to thank Hashem for the achila, the fact that we have the ability to eat, and that our bodies are satisfied from the maisa achila, or are we thanking Hashem for the food? Okay, when we think about it, so what are you thanking Hashem for? You finish a really delicious meal, and you bench. What are you thanking Hashem for? For the food? The food that's now in my stomach? Or are you thanking Hashem that you have given me, I've given me the health, I'm healthy, that I'm able to take the food, eat the food, consume the food, satisfy my body, and everything is functioning properly? Is it the Maaseh Achila, the act of eating, that you're thanking Hashem for? Or are you thanking Hashem for the food that's now in your stomach? Which is it? What exactly is the purpose of benching? So, if you read the Pasuk says, V'ochalta v'savata uverachta. It's for the Maaseh Achila, right? I'm eating, you're satisfied. The experience of eating and being satisfied requires one to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the truth is, cannot be the pshat. Because the Gemara says, the Mamsel the Bracha says, how do you know that you will a person mechuyev to eat, to make a bracha rishayna? We know that you have to make a bracha achrayna, because the achalta v'savot uveirachta. How do you know you have to make a bracha rishayna? The Gemara says, kal v'chayner. Madoch, after you're satisfied, I'm satisfied, I make a bracha, al achas kam v'kam, I have to make a bracha when I'm hungry. If I have the food in front of me and I'm hungry, of course I have to make the bracha before I partake. Now what's the kal v'chayner? If the reason why you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for the maisa achila, what's the kal v'chayner? After I finish eating, I've gone through the process, the experience. I mean, it works. So before you eat, you don't even know what's going to work. Who says that the whole process of achila, well, you have not done it yet? What is the kal v'chomer? Just because you thank Hashem after you've satisfied, you've gone through the experience of eating, how does that require us to make a bracha before we go through the experience of eating? But if you learn that the bracha that we make when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank Him for the food, it makes perfect sense. Madik, I thank Hashem for after I finish eating, there's no food anymore. The food is gone. The food has been consumed. It's in my stomach. There's no food. It doesn't exist anymore. And yet I'm a chayv to thank Hashem. Al achas kam v'kam, when the food is in front of me, before I have eaten, and before I have consumed it and devoured it, certainly I'm a chayv to make a bracha, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I have something. The general rule when it comes to bracha says you have to make a bracha on an object. If the object doesn't exist, you don't make brachas. You don't make a bracha. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu required us to make a bracha when the object doesn't exist anymore, it's been devoured in our stomach, certainly we're required to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for before we, when the object is in front of us. So the result is an incredible chiddush. When you bench, you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. It's just the Maisa Achila is a Tanai, Lom Shadin. It's a Tanai, a condition of when you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. I thank you for the food after I have gone through the experience of eating and consuming and being satisfied. But what am I thanking you for? The food. Not for the experience, of eating and consuming and digesting and being full. That's a different thing. That's the bracha. Other brachas you see, miyasha yotza maybe includes part of the functionality of being healthy and so on and so forth. It's for the food, and that is brought out by studying the kal v'chomer. Okay. Okay, so one very quick last part. When there are two brachas that are derived, the brachas atar and the brachas amosim. When we begin brachas atar, how do we begin? Baruch Hu Hashem Hanavaruch, Baruch Hashem Hanavaruch Leolam Moed. Which name do we use in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? Yud Kei Vav Kei. When we bench, Nivarech Elokeinu Shechalnu Nishalom. I'm a sign of Nivarech. Yishem Hashem Baruch Hu Mi'atav Elam Barishus, Nivarech Elokeinu. Both Birchas HaTorah and Zimun, we have a process of the leader asking the followers to answer, but by benching we use Elokeinu, but by Torah we use Rachem. Why? Because benching food is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Pi Din must provide us. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, He has an obligation to sustain us. So we use the word Elokeinu, which represents Din. Hashem has to provide for us. Torah is not a necessity, it's a gift. It's a gift, therefore we use the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. However, here's the Chiddush. Even though it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an obligation to provide us with sustenance, but the preparation of food are bonuses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have. Hashem does not need to give us delicious food. He does not need to make it easy to make parnasa. He does not need to be gracious in how He gives parnasa. Therefore, all of the references in Birchas HaMazon that are always referring back to Yud Kei Vav Kei are all in mention to the bonuses of the Hachana. That's why in the first bracha we say Umechin Mazon L'chol Briyosav Asher Bara Baruch Ata Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. When it comes to the actual providing of the sustenance, then we make mention Elokeinu and the Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. There's always a mention of Elokeinu when it comes to actually giving us the food itself. But the way, the hachana, the preparation, that is all given to us with rachamim. That's something which is a bonus, and that's why the bracha concludes Umechin Mazon L'chol Briyosav Asher Bara. The hachana is something that we don't deserve. That's something which is given to us with rachamim, and therefore the bracha includes Baruch Atah Hashem without Elokeinu. Okay, stop here.